Hello, hello, and welcome back to Art House Garage, the snob-free film podcast, where we make art house, indie, classic, and foreign cinema accessible to the masses. I'm your host, Andrew Sweatman, and today we're looking at another 2020 film, On the Rocks. There have been some new and emerging filmmakers working this year, like Kitty Green with The Assistant or Chloe Zhao with Nomadland, both of which we've discussed on previous episodes of this podcast, but there have also been some well-established directors adding new entries to their filmography. Directors like David Fincher with Mank, which we discussed a few weeks ago, or Kelly Reichardt with First Cow, which we plan to do in a few weeks. Today's film falls into that second camp of filmmakers who have been working a while and have built a strong body of work. That filmmaker is, of course, Sofia Coppola, whose previous films include Lost in Translation, The Virgin Suicides, and Marie Antoinette. Her latest film, On the Rocks, was released on Apple TV Plus earlier this year, and that's what we're discussing today. On the Rocks tells the story of Laura, played by Rashida Jones, who has reason to suspect her husband Dean, played by Marlon Wayans, of infidelity. Complicating the situation is the presence of her father, Felix, played brilliantly by Bill Murray. Felix is an old-school New York playboy who insists that men are incapable of being faithful, and he has many, troubling opinions about gender, despite always being the most charming person in the room. When Laura tells Felix that she suspects Dean of cheating, the father and daughter duo take to the streets trying to catch Dean in the act. It's very funny, mostly very light movie, though it does bring some dramatic weight to the situation as well. It's honestly the perfect thing to stream if you've got some extra time over the holidays. It's a crowd pleaser, most anyone will find some enjoyment in. Joining me today is filmmaker and friend of the show, James Basham, who loves a New York story and appeared previously on this podcast to discuss Marriage Story as well as The Lighthouse. James was kind enough to stop by again and record this great discussion with me for On the Rocks. Welcome back to the podcast, James Basham. How have you been?
Good. Thanks for having me again, Andrew. It's always a pleasure.
For sure. I'm so glad to have you back. Yeah, you were saying before you pushed record that it's been like a year or something. We did The Lighthouse back in the day.
We did Marriage Story.
Oh, yeah, and Marriage Story as well. That's right.
We have a theme of doing marriage movies,
yeah, I guess. Here we go. Yeah, this is all about on the rocks, a marriage that's on the rocks. Yeah, that's funny. It's funny, Marriage Story just came up in the previous episode too, or a couple episodes back, I guess, when we were talking about Mank. My guest was talking about, you know, film versus digital, and Marriage Story was that was done on film, and you can kind of tell, and he wishes that Mank would have been on film as well. So that was an interesting point of our discussion.
Yeah, I remember when I was watching the credits for Mank, I saw Red, and I was like, Red, wait, hold on.
Should have, yeah, and listeners can go back to that if they want, but basically my guess was like,
yeah,
he did so much to like imitate film, why not just do it on film and it would look better. Anyway,
David Fincher has the power to do that,
yeah, and the abilities.
Anyway, why I didn't.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about On the Rocks, but just before we do, I wanted to see, cool. I understand you have a film project coming up. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, okay, so I'm on the seventh draft of the script. This script I've been working on, it's my feature film I've been working on, and it's a script I've been working on for about a year. It's gone through a bunch of different drafts, and if I could describe it anything, it's going to be a very Howard Hawksian comedy. I don't want to reveal any plot stuff right now, but it's got some musical numbers in it, which is cool. There's going to be some, it's going to be a very fast paced dialogue, comedy. And I'm hoping to start building the funding campaign for it soon. It's called Ballad of the West Heads. I'm going to build the crowdfunding campaign for that. And, start working on getting funding for it and reveal more about the project as it goes on. And I think it's going to be, yeah, it involves, you know, it's got country music in it, singing cowboys. It's going to be a fun time. So
that sounds super interesting. Yeah. Well, please share, with me any crowdfunding stuff, and I'll push it out on, Arthouse Garage Absolutely. Facebook and stuff, because yeah, that sounds great. You mentioned something to me earlier too about a blog. What's up with the blog?
You know, this year there was a lot of there comes a lot of anxiety with filmmaking, which is I love writing so much, and when COVID happened and we didn't even know, there was a lot of questions on would life ever be the same. And, a lot of my questions was, would I ever, like, I love making movies and I want to keep making movies and I love writing. And I was like, I'm going to create. And so recently I had the idea, why don't I create a blog? So I have this outlet I can go to and it can never be taken away from me unless like the internet does like shuts down forever or something. But it's like an outlet. So I've been creating a blog. It's going to be like a comedy blog, and it's actually on my it's going to be on my website, my film website.
Nice.
And yeah, so I'm doing that, and I'm going to have the funding for my new movie stuff information on that website too. So yeah, it's just kind of a creative hub for myself and a way to platform projects and stuff and blog a little. And I love writing funny little stuff, so put stuff on there like that. And I'm very excited about doing that. And that's going to be, I'm going to start really working on the blog soon, and then the funding stuff is going to come out soon. So there's a lot of stuff on the horizon on the interwebs for the people.
That's great. Yeah, and I agree. Like 2020 has been such a crazy year that it's been really helpful to have some creative outlet. Like for me, it's this podcast, and then kind of keeping something that's kind of normal that I can keep working on. And
lucky for you, you never did the podcast like with people in the room.
So pretty much always been remote. I think
we're ahead of the game. The
first couple I've done in person, but yeah, it works better remote anyway. So there you go. That blog sounds great. So I'll definitely link to that too once that's going. I can't wait to check that out. Well, let's talk about On the Rocks.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, kiddo.
Oh my gosh, do you look beautiful. Cliff, how's your mom's hip?
Good, thanks.
Good. He thinks you're my girlfriend.
Grace.
Been busy?
Yeah. Dean's traveling with clients all the time, and I'm just the buzzkill waiting to schedule things. Just, I'm so stuck.
So Dean's going away a lot, huh? On business trips?
Dad.
Raise your hand if that sounds fishy.
He's not like you. He's a good guy, a great dad.
Sure, it's nature. Males are forced to fight, to dominate, and to impregnate all females.
Maybe he's just not interested in me anymore.
Impossible. A woman's at her most beautiful between the ages of 35 and 39.
Great, so I have many months left.
Felix, you're back in town.
Been busy?
Yeah. Got a lot going on.
Do you? He should be worshiping the ground you walk on. And if he's doing something dishonorable, you need to know.
What if Dean's just busy? I'm in a rut. That's it.
I think we should follow him.
What?
I think you better see him in action.
This is your idea of incognito?
Coming through.
Here's the plaza. This is the place to have an affair. It has the most exits.
Exits on three streets.
Can you just act a little less excited about this? Because this is my life, and it might be falling apart.
I don't know why women get plastic surgery.
Because of men like you.
Mm-mm. I prefer the factory original.
Yeah, and every other make and model.
Thank you. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
All right, let's talk about On the Rocks. So this is a new film from director Sofia Coppola, and it reunites her with Bill Murray. Murray plays Felix, who is the father of Rashida Jones' character, Laura. Laura has reason to suspect that her husband is cheating on her. And so she and her father, who is this kind of larger-than-life character, decide to kind of play detective and follow him around, trying to catch him in the act. Along the way, we get lots of funny conversations about the way Felix sees the world. He's kind of a playboy. He talks a lot about gender dynamics in ways that are problematic, maybe, and funny. At the same time, he really wants his daughter to be in a happy, healthy marriage, even though he keeps saying that, you know, men are not capable of being faithful and that sort of thing. So that tension is really funny. That's kind of the basics of it. One of the things that's, I feel like, is kind of a defining thing about this movie is that it's set in New York City. James, I think from the first time I met you, I found out really quickly you love New York, and you can see that in your filmmaking, I think, and now you live there. So I wanted to see, what do you think about New York City as the backdrop for the setting, maybe compared to other New York movies, or did you enjoy the New York aspect of it?
Yeah, if you set a movie in New York and there's cocktails and people drinking and drinking cocktails at cool restaurants, I'm going to probably enjoy it. It's just, it's something I just enjoy looking at it. It's nice. And growing up in Arkansas, New York always felt like this kind of magical world where people popped champagne and drank cocktails and roamed around the city to jazz music. And it always felt magical. And I feel like this movie captures that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like older movies. It felt very, I think about the movie Balls of Fire by Howard Hawks. It's like 1941.
Okay.
And that is kind of it's like a comedy of manners in New York. And
I've not seen it.
This kind of reminded me of that, like His Girl Friday, like movies like that, kind of the cocktail party New York kind of movie.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think my point of reference probably is like, I just felt a lot like Mad Men, like the show Mad Men. I used to watch that a lot. And the fancy restaurants they're eating like extravagant lunches in and that kind of thing. And that's kind of the life Bill Murray's character wants to be living. There's just some great moments zooming around the city in his convertible, in jazz music. And the fact that they're in New York, I think, really does add like a layer of fun to those scenes and to this whole movie.
And I think that there's something about, I like the contrast because I feel like Rashida Jones' character's life is very modern. You know, you have a lot of laptops and then laptops out, phones. But when she goes to hang out with Bill Murray, everything feels very old school New York. And
yeah, that's a good point.
I really enjoy that contrast. I noticed that in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't think about it in those terms, like definitely in their personalities and kind of their worldviews. But then, even in their homes and like the restaurants he wants to go to, the car that's like breaking down the whole time because it's so old, like it has an old school feel to it. And the way he dresses, even, he's always in like a 3-piece suit.
Yeah, he's got like the cap when he's in the car. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, as we were texting and talking about this movie before the podcast, you mentioned that you had some information about like the inspiration for it and a little behind the scenes stuff. I have a little of that info too, but share with us kind of what you know about Coppola's inspiration for this.
So I was listening to her interview on Armchair Expert, Dax Shepard's podcast, and she talked about The Thin Man, which I love The Thin Man. I haven't seen the other Thin Man movies, but the original Thin Man movie is about a husband and wife that solve cases for fun and like solve detective cases for fun. And I think she said she took a lot of inspiration for this because she liked the idea of, instead of a husband and wife who solve a case for fun, a father and daughter who solve a case for fun. And I think that she got a lot of inspiration from that. And she kind of, I think, like me, I think this is why I connect to this movie. Coppola finds a lot of inspiration in the, you know, champagne New York movies, you know, the fun penthouse films. And I think she kind of wanted to do a modern version of that, which is really cool. And so the kind of The Thin Man, the idea of two people who have a relationship together solving something for fun.
Yeah.
And I like that when people in movies are like real people and they do a movie thing, like solving a case. Like it would be really fun to solve a case in real life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what Bill Murray's character is trying to do.
Yeah, he has that sense of kind of like, I don't know, fun about life. And you do get a sense of like it's a fun game for him, even though she's concern for her marriage that it could fall apart.
Yeah,
so, I think that's a funny dynamic too.
That's what I like.
Yeah,
I like that he's, you know, he's like, this will be fun, and she's like, this is my life. I think that's fun.
Yeah, I watched Sofia Coppola on, I think it was IndieWire interview, and she mentioned that, or maybe I read this in an article. I read a few different kind of interviews with her about this. I'll find it and link it in the show notes. But she she talked about a friend of hers who basically had a similar situation. She and her father, I'm not sure if it was an infidelity thing, but she and her, this friend of hers and her friend's father investigated something, and she thought that was such a funny thing. She said in the interview that she hadn't really seen a father-daughter dynamic like that in a movie before, and she thought that would be an interesting thing to bring into this, and that was part of her inspiration for the story. That was pretty interesting. I wanted to talk about Bill Murray in this, because he's one of my favorite actors, honestly. I really liked him for a long time. And there's so much to his character too. Like, I think his character in this is really interesting, and like, I think you're meant to feel probably conflicted about him. There's so much about the gender dynamics that he's talking about, and even the things he's saying are interesting things, even though some of the things he's saying are kind of terrible. So we can talk about that, but I wanted to see what was your sense of his performance, and then also just his character in this movie.
Well, Bill Murray, I feel like Bill Murray has the magic of he can just show up and be Bill Murray and it's work. You're going to love, like, he's, if you have Bill Murray, whether it's Garfield 2, Tale of Two Kitties or a Wes Anderson movie or Tootsie, if when Bill Murray shows up, you're going to be excited. And I think in this movie, it's kind of interesting because you have Sofia Coppola, who's the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola. Mm-hmm. And then you have Rashida Jones, who's the daughter of Quincy Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's two people who do have a father-daughter dynamic where they have fathers from an older era of Hollywood, an older time. Mm-hmm. And Bill Murray's character, I feel like he captures an older time, a different time. Mm-hmm. And there's something there. At some points it's magical, like we were saying. At some points it's like, oh man, that's not good what he just said. But I think that's kind of where the charm is, that he's authentically himself, and his daughter dealing with that and trying to, it's almost like she can't even correct it anymore, because it's just like a way of how he is now.
Yeah, I think that was a familiar feeling in those moments when he's just like going off the rails, and you can tell she's like screaming inside, but like, what do you do? Like, what can you do in that situation? We probably felt that way with people of the older generation before, and I think it captures that kind of feeling well. Yeah, he's so interesting. He's so obsessed with sex, and he kind of makes no bones about that. He's talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
He even talks about like the evolution of desire and like the science of that, which I actually found really interesting, but in the context he's in, it's like, read the room. This is not the appropriate time to talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if even all of the things he's saying are true, but it was an interesting thing.
Then he's telling her daughters to like learn to shuffle and have long hair and just very... It's funny, but it's like, oh, this is, the times have changed a lot.
Yeah, he just doesn't have self-awareness that, like, this is not appropriate to talk about in this conversation. And,
I think there's a really moment I notice every time when she's, like, picking up her daughter from dance class and Bill Murray is, like, with her. And Bill Murray tries to, like, put on this charm for the dance teacher.
Yeah.
And the dance teacher and Rashida Jones are both just like, okay, bye. Like, the dance teacher's like, what is this old man doing? Like, why is he... You can see, like, in certain modern settings, his old ways are not working.
Yeah, it's so interesting because he's insanely charming, like, over-the-top charming, and that's, he's bringing the Bill Murray charm to that in this role, but then he uses that in ways that come off as really creepy, and yet, in those kind of moments where he just, like, is being, obviously, kind of making, not making advances exactly, but, like, clearly he's open to that, and he's kind of putting himself out there in that way, and it's, it's inappropriate. And then the things he's saying, too, about... He's always like, oh, men are dogs. Men can't be faithful to one woman for their whole lives. And he's like just going on and on about that. And Rashida Jones' character, Laura, is laughing it off and trying to like, and I think we as the audience are like, maybe in your time that was like an accepted thing, but like times have changed. Like really are times have changed. But at the same time, Rashida Jones is like internal fear of like, what if he's right? What if my husband is cheating? And I think it balances that tension really well. Like you can see that in her performance and understand how she's feeling, even though we feel some disgust at what Bill Murray is saying. But yeah, I think it's a nicely complex kind of thing.
And I think only Bill Murray could play this kind of role in 2020.
Yeah.
I feel like because it's Bill Murray, you feel safe. You don't, he might be saying some things that if another old man said it, you'd be like, but because Bill Murray's saying it, you're like, it's Bill Murray. he's saying it with charm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's what it does too. Probably my favorite scene in the movie comes kind of later on. They have all these conversations over the whole thing. There's a lot of just dialogue, and I think it's all really well written. And he talks about the first time he remembers seeing her as a person when she was a child. And like that was a beautiful moment. He tells this story and he just like, suddenly I realize like you're a little human, like you're a little person with your own desires and your own life, you know? And I can, he says, here I have the quote, and he just says, and there you were, I saw you. And like he'd known her since she was born, but like in that moment he saw her, and that maybe it's the parent in me, but I was like, that really like hit in a way that I definitely have those moments with my kids where I just like see them as a full person, where I can day in and day out just be like, okay, these are the little humans I have to take care of, you know. But then have like those moments of connection.
And also you're a part of their story.
That too,
you're parents are a part of every human's story no matter what. And I think that's that is a really beautiful. That's the thing. He'll have moments where he says some very beautiful stuff.
And I think the thing this movie does really well is that it almost gives us that experience about Bill Murray. Like we can see the charm, we can see the gross things about him, but then we kind of see him as a full person too, because there's some things where he talks about his internal struggles, and especially like his marriage with Rashida Jones' mother, which ended a long time ago, and he cheated on her. That's like an open fact. And he talks about kind of what he was going through emotionally at that time. And I think it does. It just helps you to see him as a person, which, you know, is what a good screenwriter does, is show those human things. So I think it does that really well. And I think Bill Murray nails that. Yeah. The other thing about Bill Murray is that early on in his career, it was all comedy, and he's so good at that. But then as he got older, we started seeing this more serious, and like in Lost in Translation, for instance, also Sofia Coppola.
Yeah.
And I think this movie kind of gives him both of those things in a cool way. Like he gets to be big and funny, but then he also can have those serious moments too. So I appreciate the movie for that as well.
He's got a good, you can get a good close up on him looking sad, and he can tell 100 stories on his face. From just look, he's got a natural raw talent as an actor, and not a lot of performers have this, which is they can tell a story on their face without doing anything. And that's makes him great.
Especially as he's gotten older, you can just see, he's got a storied face. Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it. Well, what do you think about Rashida Jones in this? She's really central to this film. It's probably the most screen time I've seen of her in anything, I think. Are you a fan of her outside of this? And what did you think of her here?
Yes, I really like Rashida Jones. And also, she's partners with the lead singer of Vampire Weekend, Ezra Koenig.
I didn't know that.
And I'm a huge Vampire Weekend fan.
Me too, I didn't know that.
So already, I'm already Team Rashida because she's with Ezra, and I love Vampire Weekend. But I've always been a fan of her. I thought she was great on The Office. Mm-hmm. I think she was great on Parks and Recreation. I think she was great on she's in the Social Network.
Yeah, that's right.
I really do like her, and I think she has a very likable way about her.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I was coming to this thinking, I was just thinking about her and kind of wondering, like, how much range does she have? Because in most things I've seen her in, her sitcoms and that kind of stuff. But I think she does a good job with the dramatic scenes in this.
Yeah.
And more than anything, I think their chemistry and their dynamic is really strong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she'll win an Oscar for her dramatic acting in this, but no. I think it was solid. So yeah, I was a fan of her too.
She holds her own, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Which, next to Bill Murray, can't be an easy task. Yeah. But yeah, like, not only holds her own, but I think they shine together in a lot of these scenes.
Yeah. Their chemistry really does well, because I think Rashida Jones is just a very, she just feels like a very natural, real person. Mm-hmm. And I think she plays natural dialogue really well, especially in this movie. Yeah. And in the scenes with Bill Murray, it's kind of fun to see, like, old schoolness and this just kind of very natural modern day person mm-hmm. interacting. And I think that's what makes their chemistry work. At first, I was like, I hope these two have chemistry. And then as it went on, I was like, oh, I think this is working. Mm-hmm. I think they do well at, she does well at reacting to the things he says, even if she doesn't. I remember there's one line where he says something, I don't remember what he says something, and she says, wow, that would be perfect for you or something. And the way she reads it is so layered to like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I think she does a good job.
There's one of my favorite lines in it. She says, it's after he talks his way out of the ticket, which that scene is really funny to me, because I felt like it was pretty predictable, like what was going to happen. He's going to charm his way out of this. And yet it was still so fun to watch it, even though I knew it was going to happen, because Bill Murray does turn on that charm so well. And that scene too shows this. I think this movie makes no bones about, like, he's a very privileged person. He's really rich. All these people have a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially Bill Murray. And he's unaware of his privilege in a way that probably Rashida Jones and her husband aren't.
Yeah.
But yeah, and in that scene towards the end, after he smooshes the cop and they get out of it, she says to him, it must be very nice to be you. And he says, I wouldn't have it any other way. That was such a perfect little distillation of their relationship and his character.
It was a really funny scene, that he just knew his dad or something. Yeah. And that was a very classic older man in the city kind of thing, which is funny. I like that he's like unaware of how he schmoozes his way out of things pretty easily and has a lot of privilege in his life. And I like how Rashida can like point it out to him, but then he will still come back with the snarky line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny.
Yeah. Well, how familiar are you with Sofia Coppola, like her other films? And how does this compare for you? I can actually list them really quick just for the listeners. Let me pull up.
Go ahead.
Her filmography, and I'll tell which ones I've seen, because I haven't seen all of her movies, but I think about half of them
I've missed like a few of them. When you read them,
her breakout or her first feature was The Virgin Suicides, which I have actually not seen, but then
I've seen
Lost in Translation, which I love. I saw that in college and really, really love that one.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette I've seen, but it's been a long time and I don't remember too much about it. And then Somewhere, and then The Bling Ring, and I think that's all her. Oh, and The Beguiled was her most recent.
Okay, so I haven't seen The Bling Ring, but I like Virgin Suicides is great. Lost in Translation was it was a movie I remember when I first watched it. I think I watched it, when did I watch it? In high school, maybe? And I think it was one of the first times I really got to see the dynamics of coloring in a movie. I like a way a movie's colored, what colors it's using. And I mean, we subconsciously notice this stuff all the time when we grow up watching movies, but I think that movie was the first time I had noticed from a modern contemporary movie, like the coloring really having an effect on the mood.
Yeah, those city lights and neons and
Yeah. You always have those movies when you're in that high school, college phase that you start, when you're watching them, you start noticing things that have always been there, but you really noticing them.
Yeah.
And Lost in Translation was one of those movies. And I think all the coloring on all of her movies are great. Somewhere is great.
Yeah,
I saw The Beguiled. I saw The Beguiled a few years ago, I remember. I went alone to see it and at the rave, I remember. And I just remember not really having a good time watching it. Sure. It was kind of, it's a little too bleak for me. But this movie, I really, I really enjoyed. I think it's very different than, I think people always jump the gun on movies when they're like about to come out because they're like, oh, Sofia Coppola and Bill Murray are back together. It's going to be like Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
They're just very different movies. Lost in Translation is a little more of a mood film.
Yeah.
Environment film. And On the Rocks is a little more of like a hangout movie, you know, fun time.
Yeah.
So it's very different. And I like that she has that great range.
Mm-hmm.
I think On the Rocks is definitely more my kind of movie than Lost in Translation. But I, you know, still think Lost in Translation is her masterpiece.
Yeah.
So I think it just adds to the catalog of her range, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It does feel different of the ones I've seen. So I've not seen Virgin Suicides or The Bling Ring or The Beguiled, but I've seen the others. It feels lighter in a lot of ways, I think, even though it's not the lightest movie ever. Like, there's some heaviness there, but it has a lot in common, I think, with Lost in Translation, like you're saying. Obviously, Bill Murray and a female, even though the relationship dynamic is really different. It reminded me of Somewhere, too, in that... I feel like it's
the older guy,
yeah,
kind of
that too, yeah,
like old school guy,
yeah, for sure. I didn't think of that, but yeah, I was gonna say just the way you got to really pay attention to the details. Like, I think someone could watch Somewhere, and this is the thing I heard, and say like nothing happens in that movie, you know. and I think you could almost say the same thing about On the Rocks. Like, the plot is, and there's a lot of plotty things that happen, but it's
more about the subtext.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and it does. It feels slighter, maybe, than a lot of her other things. But I really enjoyed it. And she said in some interviews too, like, she was just in the mood for something lighter to create. And that's what we, good God, that's what we needed this year, right? Something a little lighter.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. I was like, in a year, sometimes we need a pal around with Bill Murray. And drink cocktails in a movie and just have a good time. You know, not everything's got to be so bleak.
Yeah, exactly. While still having some depth to it, which is what's perfect. Because it is. It's so light and breezy, but there's still some things to hang on to.
There's still humanity. Yeah, I totally agree.
She made a Netflix special, which I've also not seen, called A Very Murray Christmas, which has Bill Murray in it. And apparently
I have seen that too. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
She said that she noticed that Rashida Jones and him just had a good chemistry making that. So I didn't realize she was in that until I read that earlier today. But and that was another reason she put them together in this, which I thought was interesting.
I forgot about A Very Murray Christmas.
I need to watch it. I mean, it's Christmas time now. I can pull it out and put it on. It's on Netflix, I think.
There's a great moment. The great thing, when we were talking about A Very Murray Christmas, I also think that Bill Murray in this movie has a lot of moments where he's like singing. And Bill Murray used to do that character on SNL where he was like the crooner singing. And I like that he does... I like that he kind of does a little bit of that stuff in this movie. And there's a really great scene where when they go to the resort and he's singing with this group and there's a guy playing guitar and it's like a moment where he's like singing and there's a lot of like passion in the way he's singing. And it's really a magical moment.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a theme with Bill Murray. He has some moments where he, you know, you feel like there's a crooner in him that wants to come out.
Yeah, that is a great moment. It's so sweet. And I really enjoyed it. Well, at the same time, you can kind of see why Rashida Jones would like roll her eyes a little bit at it, just because like it's her dad. Well, dad's being dad again. And so it captures both of those things. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was a great moment in the movie too. Yeah. One more thing I want to say about this movie is just, I think the writing of it is really solid. So we've talked a lot about how it kind of pits old school versus modern a little bit and just the characters of these two people together. But I think it does a good job too of kind of really putting us into Rashida Jones' headspace, which I think a lot of that's in the performance, but probably a lot of it's in the script too. Like it opens with, I think it's his voice saying, don't give your heart to any boys. And like, you feel that there's, it's immediately gendered into like this, protective
remember
father.
Remember you are mine.
Yeah. Remember you're mine. And, this father daughter relationship and, just immediately bringing to mind, like, in when you get married, you leave your parents to some degree. And like that father daughter relationship can be, a beautiful thing, but also kind of tricky at that moment of marriage, right? It's a kind of a weird thing. And then early on too, she's watching TV and she sees Chris Rock and he's talking about how he's making jokes about how married people don't have sex as much as unmarried people.
Yeah.
And so it's immediately bringing to like bringing to mind marriage and like marital problems. So that was a clever way to do that. And then that moment at the beginning when she first starts to suspect is really well done, I think.
Yeah.
Her husband comes home, which is Marlon Wayans, who's really good here too in a dramatic role.
Marlon Wayans doesn't get enough credit. He's a great actor. He's good in Requiem for a Dream too. When he's not doing the scary movies or the what was that one he made? It was like Sextuplets or whatever.
I think a lot of those when he's silly comedies.
When he's not doing those spoof the parody movies, like the spoof movies, when he does dramatic stuff, he's really good.
Yeah, and he's great in this. And he comes home from a business trip and like immediately starts kind of kissing her and getting frisky a little, and she says hi, and then he like pulls back and looks at her like he doesn't recognize her for a second, or he's really shocked for some reason, and he goes to sleep, which is such a weird little moment. But like immediately she's thinking he thought it was someone else, and like, and we're thinking that, and I just thought that was a really good way and a creative way to set up the initial kind of conflict of this. And and I think it does a good job too. We don't need to spoil the ending, I guess, but all the reasons she's suspicious, like it really takes us on that ride too of like, is he or isn't he cheating on her? And I think that part of it is well written. It's subtle enough that it's not obvious one way or the other. And
and much like The Thin Man, I think it does the mystery and comedy kind of well and sets up the mystery well, and it takes the audience kind of on a little trip and a ride. The writing is fantastic, and the dialogue is fun. There's another line I was remembering where she mentions a hotel he's staying at, and Bill Murray goes, "Raise your hand if that sounds suspicious." And I just think that's a great line.
Yeah. It's so funny too, like he's this businessman, so he knows all the hotels in London. He's like, "Oh, I wouldn't go there on a business trip," you know, like, so he just has all this weird knowledge because he's such an old school New York businessman. There's another line I just thought of too, that she says that since she was pregnant for the first time, she forgot how to, like, she can't whistle. Like she's trying, but she can't. And he just thinks that's so weird. And he says, "No kid of mine is going to stop whistling." And it's just such a funny Bill Murray delivery that, that moment just really made me laugh. It's such a weird little thing, but
that is
On the Rocks. It sounds like we both recommend this pretty highly.
Yeah. I think it's a great, you know, it's a really good, I describe it, it's a good movie to watch with your mom. I think it's a good mom movie.
Yeah, I agree. It feels, it's pretty, like, not family friendly, like, pretty for the tame kids, but, like, for grown folks going to the movie together. Or I could see this for a date night or something. Like, it's light without being, you know, frivolous. I think it has some good weight to it. It's probably, I'm trying to think, like, I don't know if this is going to be in like my top of the year. It might be, because I do think it's really strong, but anyway, we'll see how that pans out, but I do think it's a really it's a good movie.
Apple TV, they're doing interesting stuff.
An A24, which is interesting, their first partnership together with A24 made this movie. I think they have a contract with A24 to do like 4 more movies or 3 more movies or something, and this was the first one. So, okay, good partnership so far.
A24 is releasing all their movies on HBO Max. I'm just kidding.
Yoish. I'm so interested to see what happens with all of that. Like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming back on the podcast, James. I think it's been a great discussion.
No problem.
I'd love to have you back.
Andrew, it is always a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Arthouse Garage. We've got a few years worth of episodes now, and you can hear all of those in your podcast app of choice. If you want to support Arthouse Garage, leave a rating or review in your podcast app, or you can buy an Arthouse Garage t-shirt at arthousegarage.com/shop. Stay in the loop about Arthouse Garage and the films we're covering by subscribing to our email newsletter at arthousegarage.com/subscribe, or you can email me directly, andrew@arthousegarage.com. And of course, follow on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. Just search at Arthouse Garage in all those places, or find links in the show notes. And that will do it for this episode. Thank you again so much for listening, and until next time, keep it snob free.